The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. They were cynical. So our Lord reminds us that the afterlife is more alive than the present life. For God is not God of the dead, but of the living. Death, resurrection, the afterlife, these are what we call the last things. And in November we think about the last things and we pray for the holy souls. Earth, purgatory, heaven. Pilgrims, holy souls, saints. We call them the three states or dimensions of the church. Why? Well, just as we have a body made up of three dimensions, no body is made up of two dimensions, nor one, but everybody in the real world, not Facebook world, is made up of three dimensions, height, width and depth. The church is the body of Christ. It also exists in three dimensions. We on earth, after this world, comes purgatory in anticipation of heaven. Purgatory is a reality that will endure, most people will endure, unless they die perfect. Because heaven is for utter and complete perfection, where we will see God face to face. In other words, His holiness will be reflected within us. Therefore, we have to become holy. And if we don't become holy enough in this world, at death, we are saved, we will want to become holy, and purgation, purification, is that process that we shall endure. Somewhat like going into the transit lounge before arriving. You have to wait. It's a passive state, a prayerful state, a hopeful state, but a suffering state. Because we're being purged, cleansed of our imperfections, our venial sins, and the lack of penance we've done in this life. So the reality of purgatory, which is a teaching that the Jews believed and accepted, and we Christians have always held, but sometimes not explained well, is something that we ponder. And for those people that have died, that as we've loved them on earth, we don't forget them in death, because they still do exist. And if they're not saints in heaven, and they're not tormented in hell, they certainly want our prayers. And in praying for them, we shall in turn be prayed for by them, because they are saints in the making. So purgatory and praying for the holy souls is a marvellous, healthy reality that's part and parcel of the mystical body of Christ and what the church is all about. But of course it involves that the D word. The D word is the word called death. And we don't think about that. We don't want to talk about that. People might talk about it in regards to their funeral and the organisation of their funeral and who pays for what and who carries the casket. But they don't think about death itself. What actually happens? And of course, every person on earth will die. And it's a reality we're all going to confront. So it's good now and again, especially in November, not just to go and pray for the dead, but think about our own death. Peter Crave, the Boston philosopher, wrote a book a few years ago called Love is Stronger Than Death. Then he talked about the qualities of death. Every person, there's billions of us on earth, will die. That's the first quality. It's universal. It applies to us all. Secondly, it's imminent. Anyone could die. One of us might die tonight going home. Not guaranteed another day. We like to think we do, but it doesn't happen that way, as we all know. Thirdly, it's unavoidable, inescapable. You can't do anything to stop it. It's going to happen. And fourthly, it's final. Once it happens, it's fixed. This world, as we know it, will pass. The soul leaves the body. You might be thinking, what about all those near-death experiences people who have left their bodies during an operation, seen things and come back into their body? They obviously died and came back. No, they just didn't die. The dying process might take longer for some people than others. People who have drowned in the ocean have drowned and yet come back to life after 20 minutes, 30 minutes, sometimes nearly an hour. Did they come back to life? No, they hadn't yet died. Because the soul, once it leaves the body, except in those cases of resurrection miracles, it can't come back. Any more than you can go back to Friday. You can't go back to Friday. It would be nice to be Doctor Who and go back in time, but it just doesn't happen. And once your soul leaves the body at death, however long that process is, it can't go back. So near-death experiences are those experiences people have endured, and part of the dying process was not complete and have come back to this life with many insights. Wouldn't it be interesting? So they're the four qualities of death. He talks about death today. He says death has become our enemy today. He talks about what he means by an enemy. We don't talk about it, we don't confront it like other generations. People often were born at home and they died at home. But today it's something we just don't want to deal with. It's too hot, like a hot potato. It's just too hard to handle. Secondly, he talks about death as being not just our enemy, but a stranger. We've clinicalized death. We've kind of isolated. It's something that happens to somebody else and not to us. Thirdly, he talks about death being our mother, because through death we're born unto another life. We're born from time into eternity. And of course, the process of dying, he likens that to the process of giving birth and the pain that's therein contained. Fourthly, he talks about death as not just being our mother, but, get ready for it, our lover. It embraces us and takes us home to he who is love. And that's how he concludes the book. Love is stronger than death, because God, who didn't invent death, but suffered death for our sake, has shown us how to cope in dying. And that's a beautiful insight we Christians have. See, everyone dies, but we've got a God who didn't have to die, who died for us and said, come, I'll take you with me. That's called Holy Communion, or Viaticum, the last rites. He comes into our soul and prepares us for the next world. And in particular, the resurrection from the dead. Now, when you're at the cemetery and you're looking down at Mr. X in front of you, and you think about the resurrection of the dead, don't think that when that happens in the next world, that the bones from this grave are going to somehow be put back together, and wacko, there's the new resurrected body. I don't think it quite happens like that. Because there's people who have had their remains spread all over the place, and other people say, whatever the case, I don't think the physical remains here and now are what going to constitute your resurrected body. I say that because the body you have today is not the body you had 10 years ago. And the body you had when you were 10 years old is different to the body you had at 20 years old. You see, the cells of your body are constantly changing. Your body is replacing itself. So the resurrected body won't be the body of a particular moment, but it will be the body of your life in an eternal sense, which takes a bit of thinking to get our mind around it. But it's not so much contained in this grave site now, the body that you'll have in eternity. Because the body you'll have in the next world has extraordinary qualities, unlike this body. Firstly, it will never suffer or get sick or decay. Secondly, it will be perfect in every fashion. Thirdly, it will be able to go, like the angels, wherever at whim. And fourthly, the body will give up a certain glory, a glowing presence within, like those salt lamps that have a beautiful light within. So the body we're going to receive, like the resurrected body of Christ at the end of time, is something that's going to be quite magnificent. And we should look forward to that, as this present body, it gives us pain and difficulties. Think about what God has promised to give you. And that will give you great hope and joy, and then you will look forward to that time that will come to pass. I'll leave it with this note. Never lose heart with regards to eternity, and never doubt the great rewards God has reserved for you in the next life. There was a missionary priest up in the Kimberleys a few years ago, and he was visiting some Aboriginal families on the reserve, and there's one woman he had met for many years, and she was now dying. And she wasn't well, and she wasn't baptized. And he went to see her, knowing that she had not long to go. And she's suffering intensely. And they were talking, and she was saying, oh, I think it's going to be good, whatever happens.
And he said, I think it will be more than good. I think it's going to be beautiful. I think you're going to be so happy to meet God. And she said, but I don't know your God. We have our beliefs, you have yours. And I said, I believe the God of Jesus will give you everything you've ever wanted. And she looked at him and said, everything? He said, yes, whatever you've wanted, he will give you in abundance. And she said, with a tear coming down her eye, she said, I've always wanted a red dress. And without flinching or smirking, he said, if you want a red dress in heaven, Jesus will give you a red dress in heaven. She said, I want to know Jesus. Baptize me. He did. She soon after died. Was he lying? No. Because in heaven, every desire will be satisfied, every dream fulfilled. Praise be Jesus Christ.